Now, an update on efforts to defund the police in Minneapolis, where the killing of George Floyd prompted calls for change. Tonight, the city's Charter Commission will decide whether to ask voters to weigh in on this issue. Special correspondent Fred DeSam Lazaro has our report.
We have Eli's, we have Ace, we have Law.
They are called the Minnesota Freedom Fighters, an openly armed, mostly black citizens group that in recent weeks has provided what they call an added layer of security to the community through a particularly difficult time, says Tyrone Hartwell.
We're tired of waking up, looking at the news, or looking at another Facebook video with another person of my skin tone shot down, strangled, whatever is the issue, because a lack of understanding.
They came together soon after the uprising that followed events at a once nondescript street corner that is now named George Floyd Square. A growing shrine with artwork and tributes to Floyd and dozens of others killed in police encounters across the country. It is also ground zero for a campaign to abolish the Minneapolis Police Department by defunding it.
Proponents of defunding the police, including a majority of the city council, say Minneapolis has been here before. Several black men have been killed at the hands of police. There was talk of reform, and then nothing happened. They say it's time for the city to start over from scratch and reimagine public safety.
Policing, as a concept, has had a complete monopoly on public safety.
And City Council member Jeremiah Ellison says it's been a failure.
And I don't just mean a failure because it has perpetuated the kind of harm that you see in police killings and things that fall well short of police killings that still constitute harm, but it also fails to keep people safe proactively.
The council wants to amend the city charter, which now requires a police force with a minimum staffing level. That requires voter approval. Among those opposing the move is Mayor Jacob Fry. He says the council hasn't provided any alternative plan.
We have all this anger and frustration and sadness. There's all of this energy, and it's our obligation to channel that energy and harness it towards something that is specific and productive, not vague and ambiguous.
Amid the debate over policing, Minneapolis has seen both a spike in violent crime and a record number of complaints against the department since the city erupted in protests after Floyd's killing. Protests that resulted in a police precinct being burned after officers were ordered to evacuate.
Our morale has never been lower. They're scared to death to answer calls in case something turns violent because they're actively trying to send us to prison.
Sergeant Rich Walker, who worked at the precinct, told a Minnesota Senate committee that as many as 200 officers, about a quarter of the entire force, may soon depart. A number have filed disability claims.
I've never been more broken as a police officer than I was to watch our leaders give up on our home. And the truth is, the leaders of Minneapolis failed Minneapolis.
Mayor Fry says he has no second thoughts about his decision to abandon the precinct.
We only had about 15 to 20 officers inside with almost nothing to defend themselves with other than guns. Imagine what would have happened if they had continued to fight. There was hand-to-hand combat and likely a scenario of death.
So what now when you have almost a quarter of the police force in some form of absentee situation? I mean, that sounds like a significant staffing shortage.
We do have a staffing shortage right now. And, you know, I disagree with the notion that we should be abolishing the police department. Our officers are dealing with some very difficult situations.
Or they're not, according to many complaints. Ebony Chambers describes a recent incident outside her home in Minneapolis's largely black North Side.
There was about four teenagers walking down the middle of my street with guns out. My neighbor stood up to them, which I don't know why he did, but he said, "You guys need to please put the guns down. I'm calling the police." Called the police, never showed up. 15 minutes later, we heard about 30 shots being shot off. I don't know if the person who he was shooting at lived or died or anything.
In another instance, she says police came to her door to tell her they'd given up chasing a suspect who had run through her backyard. And if she didn't like it, the officer said,
"You need to contact your mayor so that we can do our job."
Chambers and Donald Crumbly are part of a larger community organization called Isaiah. They say they're open to new ideas about public safety.
It's not about good police and bad police. We're past that. It's about right and wrong, and the community has to step up now because we've received enough injustice.
But Lisa Clemens, a former police officer who founded a community group called A Mother's Love, says the city council's actions haven't helped matters. She says they've only emboldened criminals.
When the city council came out with their statement of abolishing and dismantling and disbanding the police department, those incendiary terms, I think it created a lot of fear in the community, but it also at the same time created a brazen attitude. I think the community has been left to fend for themselves.
We're not trying to defund the police again. We're not saying we don't need the police at all. We're just saying that there need to be a rebuilding of what they are. You know what I'm saying?
We need a full culture shift in our police department. Culture, to a certain extent, is about personnel. It's about people. So right now, when the chief or I terminate or discipline an officer, as much as 50% of the time, that officer gets returned right back to the department from which they came because of an arbitration system.
The mayor is going to have to recognize that, again, this is not a personnel problem, but a systems problem.
Councilman Ellison says the powerful police union would never concede on arbitration or other changes. What's needed, he says, is a complete revamp, moving funds into violence prevention, mental health care, and fixing other underlying causes of crime. He admits it will be a culture shift for the larger community.
And right now, all we really have in terms of public safety is one system, and that's policing. And people are going to be scared to create a new system of emergency response. And I think it's going to take a lot of conversations.
The council's immediate hurdle is to get voters to approve a city charter amendment that would allow it to phase out the police department and phase in a broader Office of Public Safety and Violence Prevention. For the PBS NewsHour, this is Fred DeSam Lazaro in Minneapolis.